Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, warmer days remind us of fond summer memories. Now you can make those moments year-round with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas, and that combines the leisure of a hot tub with the exercise benefits of a pool. Now, Master Spas technology is incredible with LED lighting, beautiful waterfalls, and those super powerful water jets installed in just one day. You're going to love it. Proudly made in America, use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. That's masterspas.com for up to $1,000 off. You can exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com. All right, news roundup, information overload hour. Toll-free, our number. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of the half hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. So I really can tell you that thanks to all of you listening to this radio show and 700 stations strong now watching the TV show, that I found my passion the first day I ever got behind a radio microphone. The first day, it was it. I was done. My life was over. If I had to pick a life of somebody that I know that I am just, I admire so much and would want to live myself, it would be Mike Pompeo's life. We first met when he was a congressman. I never had been to Langley before when he was the CIA director, and he was very gracious to let me go over and see Langley, which was pretty cool. Just everything you see in a Jason Bourne movie, basically. And then he became Secretary of State at a very critical point in American history, you know, dealing with the likes of, Little Rocket Man and Vladimir Putin and President Xi and all his life experiences. Our paths have crossed many, many times. I was in Helsinki. I was in Vietnam. I was in Singapore. And I've known him since he's a congressman. He's also a dear friend. He may be running for president. We'll ask him in a second. But he wrote a book, and I really have started it, and I really can't put it down. It's Never Give an Inch, Fighting for the America That I Love. And it talks a lot about the experiences that he's had, both the CIA director and Secretary of State, and his life is incredible. Mike Pompeo, dear friend, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Sean, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for those kind words, and thanks for having me on to talk about my book.
What an incredible life you have led. First of all, let me start with the CIA. If I could be a spy, I would love to be a spy. I'm fascinated by that entire world. And the thing is, you really can't tell me much of what you know about what's really going on in the world, can you?
A lot of that is quiet for a reason. I will say, the CIA doesn't get it right every day, but the men and women who are out there, you met them when you went out to Langley. These are patriots trying every day to just be free to put a dagger in their teeth and get out and protect America. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to lead them, to take risks alongside of them, and to deliver really good intelligence for the President of the United States of America.
At the time, President Trump was an America First president. President Trump had made a commitment to get out of long protracted conflicts abroad. Both, by the way, everything that he had promised, he fulfilled. He defeated the ISIS caliphate, which I don't think he got enough credit for, and he did it systematically. You were there. You've met Kim Jong-un. You've met Vladimir. You've met President Xi. You discuss all of this in the book.
Let's talk a little bit about the people, the evil actors on the world stage. All three of the ones that I've mentioned, I would view as hostile regimes, hostile actors. You didn't really have the best words to say for any of them. Let's start with Vladimir Putin. You said he can be funny.
He's funny. Look, he's a trained KGB agent. He knows exactly what he's doing. I've been criticized for saying he's smart. But, you know, Sean, we have to respect our adversaries. We don't have to love them. We don't have to like what they're doing. But you can't call ISIS the JV because you're going to get people's heads cut off.
You said he's funny, but you also said he's evil. And you're right. He's evil.
Yeah, that's right. He's evil. And his intention to conquer greater Europe has never wavered. What wavered was his perception of American leadership. And for 4 years, we convinced Vladimir Putin that it wasn't worth the candle, right? He takes Crimea in 2014, 2015. He doesn't move on Europe for 4 years, and then he goes back at it with President Biden. Putin didn't change. American leadership changed, and in Never Give an Inch, I write about the tools we used of American power. We didn't send the 82nd Airborne. We didn't send a Marine Division. We used American power to protect and secure America.
One of the things that I found interesting is before you met him, it was clear he studied you, and that, you know, on the reverse side of that, you studied him. When you're preparing for a summit like that or a meeting like that with, you know, one of our biggest geopolitical foes, what does that entail?
Oh, goodness. I did. I spent, would have been a couple of months preparing for my first meeting with him, trying to learn everything we know, who's met with him before. In the book, I talk about the fact, never give it, I talk about the fact that Dennis Rodman was the American record holder for spending time with Jeremy Kim. He coached the North Korean basketball team. And so we read what he had told us about his visits. We read the histories about Chairman Kim's childhood. He studied in Switzerland. And then all that the intelligence community had been able to collect so that we had as good an understanding of how he thought about his country so that we could deliver for ours.
So when you meet with Putin, you know he's calculating. You know at times it was a tense discussion. At other times it was more lighthearted. I know you can't get into specifics for national security concerns, but what can you tell us?
So Putin was a special difficult case for us because the Trump administration lived under the Russia hoax for the first 2.5 years of our time, right, where New York Times, Washington Post were out, Adam Schiff out telling this false narrative about Trump and everyone in his orbit being a Russian asset. So the meetings with him were complicated by that fact. He was serious in his resolve, but that we were different cats, that we were different from the presidents that he had dealt with previously. And so I think his perception of risk was just really, really different. He was talking to us. Remember, we have lots of places we come into contact with Russians. We came into contact with them in Syria. And when they crossed our red line and sent troops across the Euphrates River, we took out 300 Wagner soldiers. I think those were the kinds of things that sent a message to Putin that said, this is not my moment. And that's how you protect America and make it more prosperous without big, adventurous American diplomacy. You know, I'm often called a warmonger by folks on the left. The truth is, we were just the opposite of that. We built out a peace regime in the Middle East and in Asia and in Europe that served us well. And for 4 years, we had no new war, Sean. We took down the caliphate. And it was a pretty successful run.
Let me go into the issues involving him. Were you surprised by Ukraine and his invasion? And here's my analysis, and it's based in part on what sources have told me, my own observations and my own, you know, reading of press reports. I got the sense that Donald Trump spoke so freely to Putin that, you know, he would say things, if you do A, I will do B. And B would be so, it would be such a colossal, you know, promise that I think Putin was probably maybe taken aback. Maybe there was only 1% of them that thought this guy might be crazy enough to do what he's saying. And there was a certain fear factor with Trump. Maybe if it was only 1%, maybe this guy's crazy enough to do something like that. Was that real?
Sean, you have it largely right. This is a classic Reagan deterrence model, right? This is peace through strength. And we delivered that. And your point is well taken. The messages that we sent to the Russians weren't headlines in the newspaper. They were private conversations about the things we really cared about, the things that made a difference, things we were prepared to defend. There are other things, you know, you all want to go do that? Okay. But on the things that mattered to keep Americans safe, we were pretty clear. And we told them what our expectation was and what the cost of that would be if he went down that path. And I think that's why we were able to keep him in the box for our 4 years.
Including Ukraine. Everybody knew at that time he had territorial ambitions for Ukraine. Those conversations, I assume, came up in those meetings.
Absolutely. No, Sean, you've got it exactly right. Putin hasn't changed, right? Your point about his territorial ambitions, that is a throughout proposition for his whole life. What changed was his perception of risk. And when Biden says a minor incursion is okay or walks us out of Afghanistan in the most humiliating way you can imagine with a loss of 13 American lives, Putin says, this is my time.
And you got to worry about the impact. How is President Xi reading what's going on with Ukraine? I'll get to that in a minute. Let me talk a little bit. I was there. I actually saw you in Singapore. I'm sure you don't remember, during the summit in 2018. And I was actually laughing. You actually met little rocket man, Kim Jong-un. You referred to him as small, sweating, evil dictator of North Korea, but you also studied him in terms of, you know, crediting him that he was smart, savvy, ruthless. And I remember at the time people were upset that Donald Trump was even meeting with him. And I said, folks, what did Donald Trump give Kim Jong-un? Nothing except his time. But we got the remains of Americans from the Korean War back. He stopped firing his missiles every other day and a relationship developed. And the world in that sense was a little safer because of a rapport that was built. To me, it was a brilliant strategy.
Absolutely brilliant and well executed, too. In Never Give an Inch in the book, I talk about the three hostages we got back as well, Sean.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, in the front of the book, we actually have a statement from one of the hostages in his own words. He thought he was being released. He shows up at the tarmac, and there is this beautiful white over blue American aircraft with a American seal on it. This is American power. Sean, we didn't apologize. We didn't pay a penny, and we got those three Americans out. No, the policy there worked. It delivered for the American people, and it reduced an awful lot of risk here at home.
And Trump joked that Elton John's song Rocket Man was a great song, and he really meant it as a compliment. That's hilarious.
Yes, Chairman Kim saw right through that. He had his own response. I vaguely remember him saying something along the lines of, Rocket Man, okay, little Rocket Man, not okay.
Which is pretty good. So pretty good. I would argue, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, that America's number one geopolitical foe today is China. That's what concerns me so much about the Bidens and the family business and the $1.5 billion deal with the Bank of China, a deal on sending natural gas to China, a $5 million no interest forgivable loan. I'm sure you would love those terms yourself and everybody listening would.
That deal, Sean.
Yeah, you can't get that deal. But you really... You referred to, what did you say about President Xi, that he was dour, just kind of dead-eyed to you, I think is the term you used.
Yeah, he was, of all the senior leaders I met with, he was the most difficult to penetrate. He had a blank face. He was difficult and nasty in every conversation. There were no light moments in my conversations with him. It was all serious, and he always had this chip on his shoulder. I think he understood deeply that our model was a superior model, but he was determined to try and make America be a nation in decline, and you could read that and feel that in every – it oozed from him every time I met with him.
Well, apparently he made a call to Trump demanding you get fired over comments you made about COVID.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My comments were actually about the Chinese Communist Party more broadly. But on a phone call in the time that COVID was rearing its ugly head here in America, he just railed on me. And he would have probably known I was on the call. The call was between the two leaders, but he would have known I was on the call. And when the call ended, President Trump called me back and said, "That effing guy hates you."
By the way, that's true. A badge of honor. I like that.
Maybe so. But in any event, it was as close as I think as I've ever come as I came to getting fired, Sean.
You got a little bit of revenge. You posted a picture, quote, what you describe as a completely innocent photo of his dog cuddling a well-chewed Winnie the Pooh toy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, having some fun. having some fun. He doesn't like the fact he's been compared to that he looks like Winnie the Pooh, and so we have two golden retrievers, and one of them had a Winnie the Pooh puppy, and I just thought, boy, that's funny to watch my dog play, and put it up on Twitter. It was a little bit fun.
I had my own discussions with Dennis Rodman, and he gave me some insights into Little Rocket Man too. Let me talk about just real quickly the state of the world as you see it today. I think I speak for a lot of conservatives, and I'm angry that our Western European and NATO allies don't do most of the contributing as it relates to Ukraine. That's in their backyard. It's not in our backyard. And I know conservatives are angry because it doesn't seem like we're fighting that war to win it. And we're paying the bulk of money. And why doesn't NATO, why doesn't Western Europe, why don't they understand this is a existential threat to them?
So that's a long-running problem. The videotape from, I think it was the spring of 18, or maybe it was the fall of 2018, with President Trump and I sitting, the NATO leadership demanding that they defend themselves, right? That they don't depend on Russian gas. We told them time and time again, this is going to end badly. We wouldn't have known exactly how, but we've got 40 years of, we say Europe, really France and Germany, the two big economies there, underinvesting in their own defense, and you can see this coming back to kick them in the head now. You know, as for the conflict, there's only one way we're going to stop the killing that's taking place there. There's only one way we're going to prevent the continued ratcheting up of pain on Europe, and that just means we're going to have to provide the Ukrainians the tools they need to actually achieve an outcome that is permanent and lasting.
All right, I want to hold you through the break. If you can give me just a couple of minutes here. The book is phenomenal. I really only have two big questions for you. You know what one of them is. So we'll get to Mike Pompeo on the other side. His new book is out, Never Give an Inch, Fighting for the America I Love. Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. We'll get to more with the former secretary in a minute. When we come back, Mike Pompeo, I have a few more questions for him on the other side. He's worked in the CIA, he's worked in Congress, and he's worked at Secretary of State. I want to get his thoughts on the issue of a deep state. Does it exist? How do we deal with it in the end? And the investigation's obviously going on by Jim Jordan and Jim Comey. Also, is he running for president? A lot of speculation he might be. We'll talk to him about that and much more on the other side as we continue.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When news breaks, you get the inside story that no one else has, and the behind-the-scenes chatter that the mainstream media doesn't even know about. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
I-25 now to the top of the hour. Thank you for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, our number if you want to be a part of the program. I said two questions, but I'm going to invoke talk show host privilege here and make it three more questions. Former Secretary of State, former CIA director, former Congressman Mike Pompeo is with us. He's got a great new book out, gives you a lot of insight into the foreign policy adventures, you might want to call them, during the Trump years. Never Give an Inch, Fighting for the America That I Love. Mr. Secretary, thanks for staying with us. It's on Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. First question is the obvious one. There's been a lot of talk, speculation you may be running for president. Are you thinking about it?
I am, Sean. My wife Susan and I are praying, trying to figure out if this is the right time and we're the right folks to lead the country forward. We'll get to it long, and then if we decide we're going to go do it, we'll head to Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, and begin to make the case to the American people.
It's a little early to be talking about 2024. I feel like we just got out of an election cycle, but I asked Nikki Haley on Friday a question. I'll ask you the same one. So both of you work for President Trump. President Trump was the only announced candidate. And my question is, where do you see differences between Trump policies, America first, make America great again policies, versus your policies? What's different?
Goodness, a lot of them would be in the space I wasn't operating in, Sean. It would be in the way we think about the American economy. The Trump administration spent an awful lot of money. We're now $31 trillion in the hole. And so there is a lot of work to fix that. Our kids and our grandkids will live in a very different America if we keep blowing $2 trillion in debt on top of the United States every year. On national security issues, there aren't a whole lot of differences in terms of how I would deliver. But I do think it's really important that we speak to the American people about it in a way that was different than we sometimes did in the Trump administration.
All right, so let me ask you this, because I think this is very, very important. Look, primaries are going to be primaries. Whoever gets in, gets in. And at the end of the day, it's going to be up to Republican voters. Here's a question that I think you would probably be the most able to answer, but I'm not sure if you can. And I believe that we now have an FBI, sadly, that's been politicized. I'll give you two quick examples, and a DOJ that's weaponized. In 2016, Bruce Orr warned everybody not to trust the dossier, that it was a political document and it wasn't verified. That was in August of 2016. In early October of 2016, the FBI sent agents abroad to meet with Christopher Steele, the author of the bought and paid for Russian dossier that has now been debunked, as you know. And they were never able to give him $1 million bounty that they offered him. So by the end of October, they used the bulk of information in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page and backdoor their way into the Trump campaign and then later presidency. They used that document, and Andrew McCabe, the deputy FBI director, even said without the dossier, they never would have had the FISA warrant approved. My question is simple. And then in 2020, you know, we know big tech companies were meeting weekly with FBI representatives headed up by an agent that wrote a thesis in 2016 that Donald Trump and Russia colluded for him to win in 2016. So obviously there's a bias. They gave Twitter $3.5 million, but they kept warning all these big tech companies, hey, be on the lookout for disinformation from foreign adversaries.
Right.
They might even talk about Hunter Biden. And they mentioned that name, the head of the site integrity at Twitter, guy by the name of Mr. Roth, you know, testified to that case in, what was it, in a Missouri case. Eric Schmidt was running the case at the time. So my question is there a deep state?
The answer to that, Sean, is yes. It's a little different than some folks think about it, but this is, you have, and I'll speak directly to the State Department. I want to talk about the FBI stuff, but the State Department, you have a State Department that doesn't execute the president's mission set. They resisted nearly everything that we tried to do, whether it was the Abraham Accords or the strike on Qasem Soleimani. The list goes on. They were their own little blob, their establishment blob, and that is deeply dangerous to the United States of America. And so we've got to, I have a theory of the case on how one can fix this. It would start with just being able to fire every single one of them if you needed to. If they didn't do their job, just like you would do in your business, Sean, you get rid of them. You know, your point on the FBI is a good one. In Never Give an Inch, I write about January 6th, 2017. I was still just a member of Congress, but I was the nominee to be CIA director. And when you read the story of what Clapper, Comey, and Brennan did to Donald Trump at Trump Tower that day, they basically called him in and briefed him and said, you're a Russian asset. And they knew it wasn't true. And there I was. I was asked to be there because I carried a top secret security clearance because of my time on the House Intelligence Committee. And I remember thinking, you just undermined what the American people just voted for. January 6, 2017 was a seminal day as I watched really Comey and Clapper behave in ways that were unconscionable, and they knew it couldn't have been true.
But they kept signing them. I mean, you know, they've since had hearings where everyone that signed on to the FISA application that we now know was unverifiable because it was never true, they all walked. There were no consequences for anybody.
It's unbelievable. The fact that McCabe, who even the FBI said lied, hasn't been held accountable, is deeply un-American. This. I hope Congress will get after this. I hope Jimmy Jordan and his team will get after this the same way he and I chased down Hillary Clinton on Benghazi. The American people, at the very least, need to know what their FBI did under the leadership of Director Comey.
I think we're at the point where it's sort of like where we have to have a church committee. You know, one of the things I've always enjoyed, we've had a good friendship relationship. I had no hesitancy asking you if I had a doubt about a certain person and if you could give me guidance, and you would always tell me the truth. If you could, there were occasions you could.
Absolutely. No. Every time I could. Absolutely. No, we need our government to be responsive, not political. And we saw Brennan did the same thing out at CIA. He made it political. He knew the Steele dossier shouldn't have been included in that report. And he bypassed, and I write about this in Never Given, and he bypassed the analytical process to do that. This is inconsistent with how leaders should behave, and all of them are out now making money, talking on talk shows, continuing to proffer their lies to the American people.
Is there any truth to this notion, this idea? And we've had people in the intelligence community on the show that make an allegation that there is, you know, all these databases, the accumulation of all data, every text, every email, every phone call, data mining and saving all this stuff. Is that really happening or is that total BS?
So, Sean, the substance of phone calls, all that, I never saw in either role, I never saw anyone that was collecting what you're describing there, right? Which is that they could sort of replay every phone call from 2, 5, 10 years ago. I never saw any evidence of that.
Mike, it's a fascinating book. I'm not kidding. What a great life you've led. And I know you're just beginning, but Mike Pompeo's new book, Never Give an Inch, Fighting for the America I Love. We really appreciate your time. I appreciate your friendship. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. It's on Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. Isn't that a fascinating, what a life. Wouldn't you love to be in the room with Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un and Little Rocket Man and know all of our nation's secrets? I'd love to know all that.
I'm going
to
take a hard pass on that and say I'm so glad it was Pompeo and not me. I'm all set with not being in that room. That sounds
that?
Like that just sounds, I mean, I think it takes a very special person to walk into that room and to be calm and to be collected and understand that you are meeting with the enemy and that there is a greater means to an end and that you get, you know, you get more bees with honey at the end of the day, right?
Well, I mean, I think what I said at one point is, you know, conveyed to me through different sources is that Donald Trump was no holds barred. Donald Trump said, you do this, I'm going to do that. And what that was usually extreme.
Well, what did Reagan always say? Peace through strength.
Yeah.
Nobody's afraid of us right now.
But that was the whole point. I think that, and, you know, one of the things that I would say is an asset that maybe some people look at as a deficit for Trump is that there's a certain level of, he might be crazy enough to do that. And I don't think any other president in the modern era, short of Reagan, had that strength. Had that ability to create that strength. Well, if you do it, I'm just going to have to respond in kind. And look at me. I mean what I say. I will do it.
Well, I think also in the case of some of two of the people that we're talking about right now, they had private business. They had private lives. They had lives before they were politicians. You know, you have somebody like Joe Biden who has literally been a politician for 48 years of his life and has accomplished absolutely nothing. And then you look at Trump, whether you like him or not, who was a very accomplished businessman and knew how to negotiate. And I'm sure at times he was ruthless and other times he was a mitigator and he played whatever role needed to be played to get the deal done, hence the art of the deal.
Yeah, well said. All right, let's get to our busy phones. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. Andrew's in the free state of Florida. A lot of Florida calls today. What's up, Andrew? How are you?
Hey, great, Sean. Hope you are. Thank you for your service. I know it's a passion for you, so I know you work your tail off, but you do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm glad it's your passion. But last week you were talking about the World Economic Forum, Sean. And, you know, it's such a big group of, you know, gazillionaires. And the only thing that I feel like I can do, I look at the companies that are involved with that, I absolutely boycott them. I don't buy, they don't get a cent from me. And that's the only thing that I feel like I can do to try to knock a hole in them a little bit, you know, to knock them down a notch. And if everybody did it, maybe they'd start getting the message. But boycott on people that are funding all of these crazy policies. So that was one comment that I wanted to make. And the other is these people like Mike Pompeo was talking about, Adam Schiff, these outright falsehoods. There's got to be some consequence for that, you know? You get ejected from the Senate. You're not just censored, but something's got to happen. And it just blows my mind that people can say complete falsehoods and it just gets swept under the rug and nobody does it. I mean, you know, you can vote, but...
Well, we're getting some work done now. I kept telling everybody, well, one, I did not have the exuberance attack that many had about the midterm elections. I've been very dubious about how elections are being run by Democrats, and I'm now saying it loudly, and I want everyone to hear me. Unless Republicans match what the Democrats are doing in terms of elections, both in raising money for the negative ads and number two, investing in the ballot harvesting operations that 49 states allowed by law and following the law, unless we do and match and do it better than the Democrats, You can say goodbye to winning a lot of races we thought we should win. But secondly, I didn't. And you got to give up your reluctance to voting early or by mail. Yeah. What?
Yeah. We can't. We know what they do, and we got to fight. Just as, we got to fight harder than they do. It's worth the fight. But I just want to say thanks for your service.
Thank you, sir. You make this happen, not me. I appreciate it. It's my honor. Oh, no. You know, Mo the Liberal, how did you get on TV? How did you get through? Who put you through? Who, you know, that was done just to mess with me. How are you, sir?
I called, Sean. I dialed that number. Sometimes I get lucky. I'm a very lucky man.
You're lucky, all right? A lucky I bet you live in a rent-controlled apartment, don't you?
I live in a senior citizen's apartment in Brooklyn named Bishop Boardman.
Yeah.
The bishop built 33 of them in Brooklyn during the 80s, and I'm glad to be here. It's like winning the lottery, honestly.
Well, let me ask you, what do you pay for your rent every month, if I may ask? You don't have to answer if you don't want.
My rent is $400 a month. I live in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Yes.
$400? Do you know what the market rate is for your apartment? How many bedrooms?
$400 is the top rent in this building.
Okay, but that's not my point. How many bedrooms do you have?
I just have one bedroom. They're all single senior citizens' apartments.
All right. Now, do you know what that would rent for on an open market, free market? You'd be paying $4,000.
$100 a month up the block from me for a two-bedroom. I know what this neighborhood is. Very nice. I grew up here, Sean. I'm an expert on Brooklyn.
Yeah, and there you are on national television. The last segment of our show we call Last Call, and we let one of the viewers have the last word. And there you called me the most dangerous man in America yet again. Where did that come from?
Well, Sean, you know, you have a very eloquent voice. Your people who listen to you are sincere. They're wonderful Americans. But, you know, Sean, we need a whole new approach here. We don't need less people voting. We need more people voting. We need more pay for our workers. So what if I wasn't in this building? Where would I live? In the street?
I don't want you in the street, but, you know, so what we have is taxpayers. I mean, you've been an able body. You worked your whole life, didn't you?
Yes, of course I did. But I couldn't afford to live in my hometown.
Well, I mean, sometimes if you can't afford, I had this experience in life. I had to live outside of whatever city I was in because I couldn't afford to live anywhere else.
Well, I got pretty lucky, Sean. My mother lived in this building for 38 years. I sent in my application, and they called me to move in. I am a lucky man. And senior citizens need more help, not less.
I'm not mad. I'm happy you're happy. We love you, Mo. God bless you, my friend. I don't. What am I supposed to say? Of course I want Mo safe and secure. At the very latest, more documents and the double standard of treatment as it relates to Joe Biden, top secret classified information versus Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Greg Jarrett, Alan Dershowitz, Kellyanne Conway, Ari Fleischer, Judge Jeanine will join us tonight. Gianno Caldwell thrown out of a restaurant because the owner didn't like the fact that he's a conservative, an African-American conservative. Really? In this day and age? He'll tell us his story and we'll talk about his book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. It's all happening 9 Eastern tonight. Hannity, Fox. Hope you'll join us. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow. Thank you for making this show possible.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.